You ever read the book, a book by Jim Collins? It was actually written in 1997. It was called Built to Last. Anybody ever read that? Anybody read Good to Great? Anybody read Good to Great? Well, this was like the book before Good to Great. I read it. It was really good. And he basically, it's interesting because he picked like a handful of companies to watch in 1997. And he said, these are companies that will last, which is kind of cool because here we are 13 years later. We can go back and see which ones made it. He picked ones like Procter & Gamble and some other ones. And they made it. Some of them aren't still doing the things that he said made them great, but they're still around at least. And a lot of the ones he compared them to aren't. But what was interesting was in their comparisons, I won't even get to the whole point of the book. What I like about the book, what I want for us to think about, is that he would compare one company to another company. Say one company sold soap, another company sold soap. But he said this company, Procter & Gamble, was built to last, and this company over here that we haven't heard of or isn't around anymore was not. But when you looked at them, just on the surface, they looked almost exactly the same. They were both selling soap, widgets, cars, drugstore, whatever it was. They were selling the same thing, and they looked the same on the outside. But what Built to Last tells us, he goes inside the company and finds that there are certain things about these companies that are built to last, same thing as in Good to Great, is that there's something inside them that's different than the other one. Even though they look the same on the outside, they have different values, there's a different just atmosphere in the company when you work there. And so while they looked similar on the outside, they were inherently different on the inside and even in their foundations. And we have seen this played out not in the business world, but in the physical world in the last couple of months. In the last couple of months, there's been we've had a couple of earthquakes, really three, I guess, now, but big ones. But there was one in Haiti not too long ago. We've been giving to help get supplies down there through Double Harvest Ministries and Samaritan's Purse. And we're planning to head down there, hopefully, this summer. But we saw that happen. And in Haiti, what happens is, I mean, it's just abject poverty. So everything that's built is built quickly and cheaply and just to keep the rain off. And so it was utter destruction. I mean, it was horrible what happened when that earthquake hit. I mean, almost everything is gone. And then we had the earthquake hit in Chile. I think that's how you say it. Chile. I don't know how to say it. They speak Spanish, so I'd like to go there. That's the thing that scares me about Haiti is I don't speak French or Creole, but I don't really speak Spanish either, but I can figure it out. But I'm getting there. I have friends that speak Spanish. I don't have any friends that speak Creole that I know of. If you do, we'll give you a discount on the trip to Haiti and let me know, and we'll take you. You'll be our interpreter. But in Chile, they have more money and they have more resources, and so the buildings were built on different foundations. They had different structure, and they withstood a lot better. But even last week, I was listening on the radio to an eyewitness reporter, and maybe you heard it. He said that most of the buildings that were damaged in Chile were the historic buildings, the older buildings. Because what has happened as their economy has improved and as time has progressed, we have come up with building codes, which if you've ever tried to build anything in St. Augustine, you know they're crazy. They're for our good. And so in Chile, they build according to these codes. The later buildings were built according to these codes, and the earlier ones weren't. And you look on the outside, and even though they look older, there are four walls and a roof, they look very similar. But there's something structurally different about the buildings that stood and the buildings that crumbled, is that they just had different code. They were built to a new code instead of the old code, if there even was a code, which the old code was keep the animals out, keep the rain out, and we'll be good and happy. So we see that illustrated that way. Now what I want to tell you this morning, while we're in our thing for reading through the Bible in 32 days, we're doing through the new in 32. If you didn't get a bookmark, they're over there. You can start this week. Those of you that did it, did you start? Anybody start it this week? Just try. You didn't have to finish it exactly, but who tried it? Who started it? That's awesome. That is so cool. I've had people all week calling me, telling me, hey, some people said this is the first time I've gone through the Bible, and they're reading the Bible for the first time. I've had people that read it before asking me questions. Like, I've read this before, but I never even noticed this. I never even saw this. It's been great. I just want to go ahead and give you a little pep talk right now. This week was the toughest week. This week is the toughest week. I'll tell you guys, I was telling Jonathan earlier, what I did, because I'm not creative. I stole somebody else's Bible reading plan. I didn't steal it, you know, but I stole. And I took it, and theirs was 30 days with no breaks. Ours is 32 days with four breaks, so that really gives us 28 days of reading. So I had to cram two extra days in there somewhere. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I crammed them in last week. last week, the reading plan I took from took like 4 or 5 days, 4 days to read Matthew and 4 days to read Acts. But you guys did it. If you did, you did it each in 3 days, which was insane. That was, I mean, I didn't even realize how long Matthew 27 was. That was a long chapter. But if you've done that, the hardest part is behind you now. The rest of it will be shorter, I promise. And it's going to be easier. And if you got hung up back there somewhere, you got a free day today. But just keep going. Even if you read it and it takes you 40 days to read through the New Testament, how cool would that be? That would be really cool. I want to encourage you to just keep at it and keep doing it. And it's different than you've probably done because you're not used to reading giant chunks like that. And it's just a different way of doing it. You're going to get a better overview of it, but you may miss some of the details. And I'll just tell you as your pastor right now, it's okay. I want you to just get it. And then you'll have time. You can go back and get all that figured out. If you have questions, feel free to call me, ask me, look them up and dig into it. But I want you to get through it because it's gonna be good. It's going to help you. Now, the reason I want you to do that is not so you can check boxes, even though checking boxes is very fun. I'm a big fan of box checking. I love doing that. But that's not the reason. We don't want to do it. So I don't want you to read the Bible so you can be smarter than the people at work and out-argue them. I don't want you to read through your Bible so you can, you know, feel like you're more spiritual than other people. But I want you to read your Bible. We said it last week so that you can know Jesus. That's why we want to do it, so we can know Jesus. And that brings us back to this whole foundation thing. Here's the text we're going to see this morning. See, there are people that are in church. There are people in America that are morally, they look good. In fact, they look identical on the outside to people that actually know God. But inside, there's something structurally different about their lives. And it could be you. There could be something structurally different about what you're basing your life on that means that when the storm comes into your life, or maybe even the storm of God's judgment, when you stand before Him one day, you're going to find that what you thought was a safe structure to live in, a safe life, a life that pleased God, that honored God, that would be acceptable to God, you're going to find that it crumbles when it comes face to face with His holiness, or when it comes when a trial or a storm comes into your life, even though it looks the same on the outside. The storms are going to come into your life. Has anybody ever had a storm come into your life? Not like a rainstorm, but life just turned upside down on you. Thing you thought would never happen, happened. The dream that you had just died in front of you. Maybe it was a relationship that you thought was going to last forever. And no matter what you did, you couldn't save it. No matter what you did, you couldn't fix it. And it just walked away. Maybe it was an economic thing where you had your plan, because we all do that. I hope you do. You have a plan figured out. At least you're planning on where to go and how much money you'll have when you retire, and you've got your plan all figured out, and then all of a sudden recession comes, or all of a sudden car breaks down, or all of a sudden surgery bill comes, something happened, or you lost the job, and then everything seems like it's just crumbling around you. Has that ever happened to anybody? Here's what you'll find out. When the storm comes into your life, because it's coming. Now, most of us have been through it, but when it comes into your life, God will use that to build you up, but the first thing that it will do is it will reveal what your life is really all about. It will show you what you're really counting on and what you're really getting your joy from. That thing, the reason that you feel like sometimes that you just can't go on without that person or without that money or without that job is because you're counting on that person, that money, that job, that thing instead of Jesus. Because here's the thing, if you're counting on a relationship or a situation or a circumstance to make you complete and to make you whole, those things are going to change, aren't they? Can I get a witness? Are they going to change? They're going to change. Okay, so they're going to change. That's going to change. But if you count on Jesus, the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. He will never let you down. Even though your circumstances may change, you can count on Him. And if He is the foundation of your life, then when the storms come, your life stands. It doesn't mean you don't suffer. It doesn't mean it doesn't get tough. But it means that you're not ruined by it. It means that you get to walk through it. Sometimes there's just so many ways that storms come, aren't there? I mean, it can be physical. It can be someone you care about that you've prayed for and you've seen and you've watched. Have you ever watched someone that you care about just throw their life away? You ever watched someone just make bad decision after bad decision? You pray for them, you invest in them, you try to help them, and it's just a storm that comes in, and it's like it seems like it just crumbles. It's just tough. It just shows you what's really going on in your heart. Listen, look, everybody, look here. Say, I'm awake. Okay, good to hear. Good to hear. Because this is key. The last time you lost your temper. The last time, some of you probably never have, but some of you, the rest of you, the last time you lost your temper and even sinned, even when you lost your temper and berating someone or the way, when you did that, what that did is it wasn't just, oh, everything's not working out and they just deserved it. What happened was you had another foundation. Even if you're a Christian, it's easy to mess this up. And you say, okay, I thought my life was supposed to be like, the guy was not supposed to cut me off in traffic. I mean, he's supposed to drive at least the speed limit in the left-hand lane down the interstate. So I'm justified in talking to him like this, even though he can't hear me. Yeah, is that just me? Only I do that. Okay, y'all can't relate. But when you lost your temper with somebody that does something like that, what you've said, what you think it's justified, but what you've really said is, in my mind, because you have your own little world. You're saying, here's how things are supposed to work in my world, and it didn't work the way I wanted to work in my world. So now I'm justified in sinning. Because it didn't go. It said my foundation was, well, I can't even tell you what the real speed limit is down the interstate, but let's say your foundation was the speed limit. Is it 70, 75, 80? I don't know. Your foundation was 80 miles an hour in the left-hand lane. That's the foundation that I'm going to go with. And so when that gets messed up, then my world comes apart, which that's an extreme example, or a silly example. Because the more relevant ones are the more ones you deal with are you know what? My kids were supposed to behave this way, right? And they never do. But they were supposed to behave this way. And when they don't, then God, where are you? What happened? I did everything. I read the book. Man, I did what the book said. I did it right. And God, it just doesn't seem, it's not supposed to happen this way, because this is the way it was supposed to happen. My job was supposed to go on. I was supposed to get the promotion, not the pink slip. And yet God, this isn't right. And a storm comes into your life and it shows you what's going on. Sometimes we're devastated sometimes, and it's okay to be devastated when the unexpected happens. I guess by definition, that's what makes it unexpected. It surprises us. We weren't expecting it to come, but it's what you do after that that shows what your foundation really was. I want us to look together and take your Bibles and open to Matthew chapter 7, because Jesus addressed this very issue. And this is really, if reason number one is last week, reason one that I want you to read through your Bible is because, so you can know Jesus. This kind of reiterates that point. This is kind of reason number two. It's because it's going to give you the right foundation. It'll give you the right foundation for living your life. In Matthew chapter 7, let's start about verse 24 together. Jesus is speaking. He's wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, everyone then who hears these words of mine. Here's one reason I want you to read your Bible. Jesus is saying, he's going to say it's a good thing for people to hear these words of mine. How are you going to hear the words of Jesus? I mean, that's the best and easiest, clearest way, isn't it? Let's read an objective book that accurately recorded what he said. So this is who he says, I want you to be like. I want you to be like people that hear these words of mine. That doesn't mean you go and try to hear him audibly, or I mean, you don't go, you say, Jesus, you have spoken. I want to know what you have said. But here's what we'll do. Instead of doing that, we'll wait until somebody else tells us. We'll say, I'm going to wait. Some of you wait until for me to tell you what Jesus said. When you've got a Bible, I want you to read it for yourself. I want you to hear these words of his. But he says, he who hears these words of mine and this is key, and does them. He who hears them and does them. In other words, who responds to them, who does something with them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So he who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Hey, let's read that together. You ready? Ready? Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So that's what Jesus says. Now, when he talks about building on a rock, he's talking about a good foundation. If you have your Bible, you can flip over to Matthew chapter 16, verse 14. And Jesus was talking a little bit later to the apostle, to Peter. And he had just asked all his disciples, said, hey, who do people say that I am? And some said, you're Elijah. Some say, you're John the Baptist. And Peter comes up, and he was always saying the wrong thing. But this time he said the right thing. And he said in Matthew 16, 14, you are the Christ. In other words, you're the Messiah, you're the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter. And on this rock, this confession that you just made, this truth that I am the Savior, that I am the Messiah, I will build my church. So he says, this is the foundation is a proper understanding of who Jesus is. The foundation of your life needs to be really trusting in Jesus. That's what he's saying. And then he says, but if you look at Matthew 7:24, he's saying characteristic of someone who has trusted Christ is they hear my words and they do them. And we're going to explain what that means a little bit more in just a moment. But understand that. What he's saying is if your life, you're like the good building, your life is going to be like the good building in Chile. It's going to be built on this foundation of who Jesus is. Everything just went away. Not everything. I mean, I'm still here, and you're still here, so we're good. We just don't have a projector. The battery died. Did it crash, or it wasn't plugged in? Or we don't know? Cried, man. Huh. Oh, well. That's all right, man. I'll leave it alone. The Apple's on. The Apple charging? I'm glad it's just us here, man. If there were other people here, I'd be so embarrassed, man. I don't even know if it's really that. It's plugged in. Let's see here. This is plugged in. Sounds like I need a new power cord, huh? Looks like I need a new power cord. You know what? We'll go old school, man. You'll get your Bibles out. I told you to bring your Bibles, right? Go ahead and get your Bible out. Let's break it out. I had really cool announcement slides at the end, so hopefully I'll remember what they were. So we'll just go ahead and I'll turn this off if it's not going to work. Is it going to work? You know what? Keep playing with it. If it comes back, great. If it doesn't, don't sweat it, Mike. Or you can close it. Here's the thing. Whoever built their house on the rock, he says, look what he says about them. This guy, now again, building your house on the rock is compared to hearing the words of Jesus and doing them. So he says, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had a good foundation. It had been founded on the rock, had solid foundation. It was structurally sound, even though, and it would have looked a lot like this next guy's house. The next guy's house looked just like the same guy's house. It was probably the same area, the same stuff. Look at verse 26. Everyone who hears these words of mine, so now here's the scary thing. Here's the scary thing. Person number two that Jesus uses in his illustration here, here's the words. They would be reading through the new in 32 with us. They would hear them, but they would not do them. Everyone who hears the words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. Don't sweat it, man. I don't even worry about it. You can just close it. Don't even worry about it anymore, man. That'll be no problem. So he says, basically, here's what happened. Guy number two hears the same words the other guy hears, does the same stuff. In fact, builds a house that looks just like the other guy's house, but structurally, something inside is different. There's a different foundation. There's a different structure. And so when the storm comes, that thing crumbles, and great is its fall. So as that happens, Here's what this looks like for us. Here's what's kind of scary for us. Because that means your life can look really good on the outside. You can look really more. You can look really good. But you can even read your Bible. But if you're reading your Bible just to get smarter, just to get check the box, he says, you may be building on the wrong foundation. And if you're doing this thinking, I'm going to do more so God's going to bless me, then you're going to be in big trouble. Remember Haiti and Chile? In Haiti, basically, here's the deal. The houses are built quickly. They're built quickly, they're built easily, they're built cheaply. And what happens is that you do whatever's easiest right there. So when you do whatever's easiest and quickest, instead of building on with the right stuff, when the earthquake comes, when the storm comes, the house goes. That's going to happen in your life. And here's the thing. Some of you, if you have the wrong foundation, if your foundation is success, if your foundation is, I have to get the promotion, here's what happens. You go to work and you have to make a decision. Because you have to do something immoral or you have to lie in order to keep your job. The person whose foundation is success or the job or the promotion, a lot of times they say, you know what? If I tell the truth, I lose my job. Therefore, I have to lie. So I'm going, that's just the decision's already made because it's a different foundation. The person whose foundation is Jesus and says, I'm going to live a life that honors God, the decision's already made for them too. If I have to lie to keep my job, then I lose my job because I'm going to honor God. And my foundation, my joy, my hope, who I am is not found in this. It's found in Him, and He never changes. The reality is you'll probably lie to keep your job and just still lose it in 3 months anyway, won't you? I mean, that'll happen. So you might as well do what's right. But you have the wrong foundation. It changes everything. And if you just do whatever's easiest, whatever's quickest, whatever's cheap, it's going to crumble. It's like in Chile, they had the buildings. The older buildings were built by the old codes. Let's talk about old codes and new codes just for a second, and we'll be done. Here's what some of you do. Now, some of you made up your own code. I met people like that this week. They have like their own deal, and they just have their own view of God. And the reason they believe what they believe about God is just because, well, it's just what I think. They've totally rejected Christianity. Totally reject Christianity. Haven't really examined it, defined it lacking. They haven't actually examined the facts about it, but they've rejected it. So now I don't buy that, and mostly it's because I don't like it, because it means I don't get to live the way I want to live. But that's where I was, and I was an atheist. But I said, you know, I'm rejecting that because of that. But they reject that, and they made up their own new deal. Here's how I think it works. I think if you're just good to people, and this is what we always come up with, every religion comes up with this. If I'm good to people, I don't kill anybody, I do good, then life's going to go good for me, or I'll get into heaven, or whatever their view is of that. They make up their own deal. And it's a lot like the old code. The old code says, basically, I do good, God blesses me, my life is good. Church people have this all the time. They think, I do good, I did what's right, you've done it, and something bad happens. Well, God, why'd that happen? I was giving, I was doing what was right, I was serving you, this shouldn't have happened to me. I had faith, I trusted you, why did you let this happen? That's old code. New code is, you know what? I deserve death and hell. I've sinned against God. Jesus died on the cross for me. He rose from the dead, and if I place my faith in Him, I get forgiven. I get God's righteousness. I get to live for Him forever. So new code says, hey, I'm complete in Christ. Bring it on. Whatever has happened, whatever has gone on in here, this is not my life. I trust Him. And so new code says, it doesn't say, I did A, B, and C, so you owe me. That's what we want to put God in obligated to us. We want to make Him owe us. And God doesn't owe us. We are indebted to Him, and He forgave that debt. That's an amazing thing. But here's what this does. And I've told you this before. Here's the difference between the two, because I'm going to try to make this short because it's hot in here today. Here's the difference between the two, and I've told you this before. Old code says, I'm going to obey. And you can mess it up looking at Matthew 7:24. Old code says, I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey, therefore I'm going to be accepted. I did what you said, so you accept me, so I'm good, and that's it. That's religion. That won't get you to heaven. That's not the right foundation. The true foundation is, I'm a sinner. I trusted Jesus, so now I'm accepted. Not because of what I did, but because of what He has done. So I believe in Him. Therefore, I obey. There's still obedience involved. That's what Matthew 7 it clearly says. People that really name the name of Christ, they actually follow Him. They actually do what He says. And that's evidence. That's not why He accepts him. Does that make sense? It's evidence that you've trusted Christ the way that you live your life. So I'm not saying that you say, I prayed a prayer when I was a little kid, and now I'm just good to go because I got my fire insurance. That is not Christianity. Christianity is, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and now I obey, not so that I can be accepted, but because I already am accepted. And I don't obey perfectly, and when I stumble, when I fall, I repent and I come back to Him. Does that make sense? If that makes sense, if that makes sense. Okay, good. It's hot in here. Okay, here's the thing. Now you have to be very careful with this, because even these people mess it up. And here's what's scary for some of you, is that religious people that everyone looks at and thinks are going to heaven, sometimes are missing it. That's what Jesus said a few verses up. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, this is scary. So it's very scary, because He just said, a lot of people are saying my name, but they're not getting in. It says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we preach? Didn't we teach? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do these signs? And what, didn't we do all this stuff and do many mighty works in your name? In other words, we did, so we should be accepted. And He says, depart from me, for I never knew you. I will declare them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. In other words, you were actually trying to keep laws and earn my favor, when the reality is my Son had done it all. My Son has done it all. And even your righteousness looks like lawlessness to me, but also characteristic of your life is you're doing it on the outside, but on the inside, you're still you're still messed up. And so here he says, you trust Jesus. You get it. Does that make sense? Now here's the thing. The reason we want to read our Bible is because we want to build our foundation on our lives on the foundation of Jesus. And if you're going to build on the foundation of Jesus, you've got to know what he said and know who he is, and then do that. Let's see where I am even here. We've got it. We're done. You guys got it. You got new code versus old code, right? New code is I'm trusting Jesus to get me to heaven. I'm going to follow him. I want to do what he says, but I'm doing what he says because I've already trusted him. Old code says I'm going to build my life on my good works, on the fact that I'm better than somebody else. I never killed anybody, I never did this stuff, and that's going to get me to heaven. That's not going to work. You've got to trust Jesus. Because here's the thing, the storms are coming. The storms are coming. And some of you, it's going to be a financial storm that's coming. It's going to be a physical storm that's coming. It's going to be something. But there's a storm coming in your life. And when it comes, you're going to see what you're really counting on. If you're counting on Jesus, it'll stand and it'll last. Ultimately, the storm's coming. You know, every person that he said this about, every person that was listening to him, when he said, if the wise man built his house on the rock, the storm came and his house stood, you realize every one of those people died. Every one of those people faced death and passed away, and their wives grieved, or their kids grieved, or they grieved the loss of their, even they went through that. But if the person he was talking about was a person that had trusted him. So while it looked to everybody else like they died, physically they did, spiritually they're alive today because they built on Jesus. See, here's the thing. If you build on Jesus, you're still going to go through difficult times. But 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, you're going to be so glad that you trusted Christ and not your own works. You're going to be so glad that you trusted him and not your religion. You're going to be so glad that you built on the right foundation. If you try to build on any foundation other than Jesus and his finished work on the cross, 1,000 years from now, you will regret it. You will wish that you had given your heart to Christ. You will wish that you built on his foundation. You will wish that you did not make up your own religion to try to make yourself right with God. Because listen, everybody that makes up their own religion is able to live up to whatever it is. Even with me as an atheist, I was able to live up to that. I could do that because I made something that I could do. And I said, well, that just works. 1,000 years from now, you will wish you had listened to the truth and given your heart to him. Listen. Build your life on this. Don't bargain with God. Here's what will happen. Is then when you understand that you're accepted by Jesus, and you can obey from that, not for that. It changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, let's just think about a couple things together real quick. I mean, if you trusted Jesus, you're really forgiven. You really get to live forever in eternity with him in heaven. And he's going to supply your needs. That really happens. That's really true of you. I mean, honestly, really true of you. And you lose your job. I'm not saying that's a hard thing. That's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. It's still a hard thing. And there's still reason to be sad. And you need to get out there and work and look. And you want to provide. It's still difficult. But in 1,000 years from now, is it going to matter a whole lot that you lost your job? If you're complete in Jesus Christ, if you're complete in Jesus Christ and you find your joy and your hope in him, and someone that you love and you care about, a relationship that you want to work, just doesn't work out. If it falls apart and it crumbles. 1,000 years from now, will you still be in heaven? Does God still love you? Is Jesus enough? Here's what happens. When you build your life on another foundation, it doesn't work that way. When you build your life on popularity, some of your friends do some of the dumbest things that they're going to regret for the rest of their life so they can be accepted, so they can be popular with some people. You've done it, right? And you've done the dumbest stuff so that I can be accepted by people that don't even know your name anymore, right? Remember those things you regret? It'll change things. If you say, you know what, I'm accepted by God. I'm going to live to do it. It changes how you live, doesn't it? You got a different foundation. My foundation is not popularity. It's Jesus. If you understand that you've been forgiven by him, if you really have, if he is forgiven, that sin that you're embarrassed about, that you're ashamed of, that you don't want anyone else to know about, that you really regret, and you understand that he died on the cross for that, and he forgave you. And so now when God looks at you, he doesn't see that sin, he sees Christ's righteousness. When you understand that God's given you that grace, when you get that, doesn't that make that a little bit harder to hold a grudge against the person that lied about you, that talked bad about you? It makes it possible for you to forgive that person that doesn't deserve it, that hurt you. You can forgive. You can find healing. It makes a difference, doesn't it? Everybody say yep, even if you don't agree with me. Say yep. Okay, good. Then we'll be good. We'll be done. Okay, here's the thing then. That's the thing. I want you to read your Bible so you can have hope, so you can know Jesus, so you can build on your life on Him, on the right foundation. Not just know about Him, but actually know Him. I mean, not talk about Him, not get the right answers on the test, even though I want you to get the right answers, but I'm not just that, but I want you to actually know Him, to have a relationship with Him, walk with Him, to live with Him, and to build your life on the gospel, on the truth that He died for you, rose again, He's alive, He's going to provide and will forgive. Imagine if we could be a group of people who really love Jesus like that. Not, I'm going to love you so you'll give me the promotion. Not, I'm going to love you so I can make the seal. I'm going to love you so I can get the girl, so I can get the guy, so I can get the whatever. I'm not doing this conditionally, God, but I'm just loving you because I'm building on your foundation. You're my King. You're my Lord. I surrender to you. You know what will happen? And I see it already in a lot of you. I really already see this. But imagine if everybody got it. We'd be a gracious group of people. We'd be a caring group of people. We'd be a forgiving group of people. We'd be a joyful group of people. I think we'd be a group of people that would change this world. I want us to be that. I want you to be that person. If you build your life on Jesus' finished work, it will be built to last forever. Anything else will crumble. That's why I want you to read your Bible. Let's pray together. Maybe right now with your head bowed, you need to tell them, you need to realize you've been trying to count on the wrong foundation to get to heaven, and that's not going to make it. I'm just telling you. You're not going to get there aside from placing your faith in Jesus Christ. So what you need to do right now, right where you sit, is just in your heart. If you believe in Jesus, you need to tell Him. You say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I've broken your law, and I need forgiveness for my sin. And I believe that you lived the perfect life. You died on a cross in my place for my sin, and you rose again, though, from the dead. And I believe that I place my faith in you. I'm going to trust you. I want you to be the foundation of my life, that you'll forgive me, that I'll be yours. So I want to surrender my heart to you now, Lord. I don't want to be one of those people that just says, Lord, Lord, but I actually want to follow you. I give my life to you. That's what it takes to be a Christian. I encourage you to do that. Just however, in your own words with Him right now in your heart. Surrender your heart to Him now. Those of you that are Christians, I would just encourage you to continue to just soak in His word and soak in His sayings and get to know Him and love Him. And even those of us that have gone through maybe that step where we turned from our sin and we placed our faith in Him, we are still prone to go back to the old code, aren't we? I am. It's easy for me to think that I'm going to do good and God's going to accept me. We need to make sure, ask God to help us keep our focus on the right foundation, to keep just remember that Jesus is the foundation of our life and His work is what makes us accepted. And it'll affect how you relate to people and how you do everything else. Just ask Him about that right now. Father, thank you that you gave us copies of your word so that we could know you. God, so many times we've read it out of guilt, out of habit, just to get the right answers or to prove our point. And Lord, we just want to repent of that, and we want to read this week to know you. I pray for these people that are here, God. I pray that as they open their Bibles this week, God, I pray that it will be the freshest time for them, that they will be refreshed by your word, that they will see who you are and how much you love them. God, I pray that they will read things that specifically, it's just obvious that you specifically placed them in at that place with that Bible at that time to speak to the specific situations that they're facing this week. Or remind them of how much you love them, or maybe even reveal to some of them how much you love them. And then, Lord, I pray that they will take what they learn and take your word and take your grace and your love and share it with others. Lord, I pray because you've extended grace to us that we would extend grace to others, that we will be known as people who love you, and help others. Lord, I pray that everyone here would have a life that was built to last and that they would build on the right foundation. And that when that storm comes, Lord, we don't ask you to avoid the storms. We just pray that when the storms come, that we will be found faithful, that we our lives will stand. I ask all this in Jesus' name.